Hi, I'm Emily Rawlings.
And I'm Kayla Connick. Welcome to Forget Dis, taking the dis out of disabilities.
We are music therapists from Dynamic Music Therapy in Las Vegas, Nevada. This podcast highlights people who live with unique challenges that they have transformed. We will meet people from different walks of life, discuss how music therapy can help in specific ways, and present how to and how not to talk to people with disabilities. Today's episode is special education in the schools. Last week, we heard from Elizabeth, who has autism. This time, we're going to be hearing from
a parent with a child with autism. So his name is Robert, and he's actually going to provide some really, really important techniques to help parents navigate the school system and special education and IEPs. An IEP, by the way, is Individualized Education Program.
So plan. Isn't it plan?
I think it's program. I've seen both. I've heard IEP is plan, and then I looked it up. I Googled it because I second-guess myself all the time.
Right.
So I Googled it, and it said Individualized Education Program, and I'm like, oh.
Whoa.
Program, plan, same thing.
All right, for all you folks out there, tomato, tomato.
Whatever. So we are really excited to hear from Robert and about his son, Tyler. So without further ado, here he is.
I'm Robert Nelson. I have been living in Las Vegas since 93. I'm the director of sales and marketing for an independent wholesaler in town. So my job is to call on casinos in town and corporate call points to set up deals to help make us a preferred supplier, right? So, so I'm in the sales field.
Gotcha.
Maybe I should have just said that.
That's all good. It's a big field, so you got to narrow it down a little bit.
Yeah, so, and I love living in Las Vegas. It's it's a cool town. And I have two boys that are twins that are 11 years old, and one is autistic.
Cool. So, for our listeners, how would you define autism?
Frustrating. It's a challenge because the individual that's affected by it can't really express himself how a typical child, in this case, would. And you can see that they're really smart, really talented kids, unique, but they have a hard time expressing their feelings, their emotions, controlling their emotions. Mm-hmm. So I guess frustrating.
Frustrating. Yeah. In my experience, at that age, is really hard too with that prepubescent time because they're going through some things that they can't.
It's a frustrating time for
neurotypical. Exactly. And then on top of that, not be able to express
yourself.
What's going on for them. That's got to be hard.
Yeah. Yeah, I know that is so important, especially at that age. Yeah, nearing the teens. Yeah, definitely. What's something you wish people knew about Tyler? So you mentioned that he's very smart. I know this. I work with Tyler, by the way. A little background. what's something you wish people knew about him?
I think that really that he's loving. Mm-hmm. He's laid back. He likes to laugh. He likes to play. Not so much with other kids his age, but more with adults. I think he feels more comfortable. He doesn't like loud sounds. Certain pitches hurt his ears. Yeah. But he's a loving kid, so I think that's what I want everybody to know most.
Yeah, that he's loving. Yeah, he is. He's a total joy to be around. and to work with and to, yeah, sing and play music with. So when was he officially diagnosed?
I believe it was around 3. He wasn't hitting his milestones.
Mm-hmm.
And the pediatrician suggested that he get tested. And then at that point, they diagnosed him with autism. And then we started navigating services.
What was that like?
It's a challenge, right? Because you've never been around that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm coming from sales, so I'm not an education background. So it made it frustrating and challenging because it wasn't like you just had this blueprint. Okay, he's got autism. You need to go here, and this will tell you exactly what you need to do
mm-hmm.
every step of the way, and what services to call, and how to call them, and then navigating insurance to make sure that the services that you do find are covered under the insurance,
mm-hmm.
and then getting somebody that you want to be with or have your, you know, to go see, right?
Yeah.
It's got to mirror or marry each other in a successful way. So I think that was, it was challenging. And then getting him into the early program at the elementary school.
Mm-hmm.
So he was in that early program that helped, right?
Mm-hmm.
But again, it's as long as the teacher's engaged and the stars align, you get some good quality workout, you know, or development. Some of the challenges that you have with insurance companies in getting like OT, PT, speech covered under insurance,
mm-hmm.
most of it's all covered under all insurance now. But one thing is what provider of those services
mm-hmm.
and where they're located in our city can be a challenge. So one thing that you can do, and I did, was I called my insurance advocate, and you can do this and say, listen, you know, I'm looking for a speech therapist, an occupational therapist, and a physical therapist that is all located within 5 miles of my house because of the, you only have so many hours in a day to get these services in, plus if you're child goes to school for the full day and you're not pulling them out to go to these services because you can actually get a time, you really want to work with your insurance advocate and really push this because, you know, like my insurance, there was a list of speech therapists, but they're all located in Summerlin and I live, you know, 17 miles and I've got to navigate rush hour to get them over there. Plus, if you've got back-to-back services, you don't have enough time to get them, and you don't. You want your child to actually have some downtime before they go to bed, right? So,
mm-hmm.
You don't want to go until 9 p.m. to get all these services in. So, you know, working with the insurance advocate with your insurance company, they can give approval to go to somebody that wasn't approved before, and even if you have to help facilitate making sure that the paperwork is getting done and then they're applying so then they're approved as a provider
mm-hmm.
and then you can get your, and then they'll give, once you're approved, then you get your X amount of time. The great thing about, which I'd love music therapy to be included into this bucket, like my insurance company, OT, PT, and speech are all considered in the same bucket.
Yeah.
So you get allocated X amount of visits per year, and then you have to pay outside of that. But it's maybe it's 150 visits, right?
Mm-hmm.
So each one you're going to have 50 visits
per
calendar year. So it would be great if we could somehow get music therapy included into that bucket because, you know, I mean, I'm seeing such a great results from it, and I think that it's beneficial. You've got a lot of school systems throughout the United States that have music therapy incorporated in their
mm-hmm.
in their special needs programming. So anyway, that,
well, we would like that too.
I'm sure.
So far, we have a lot of people call and they're like, "What insurance do you take?"
And there
like,
there are some music therapists that are successful about music that insurance reimbursement around the nation, but it depends on the insurance, and it's always an out-of-network provider. There's no in-network providers.
And yet. So far, what we have is Desert Regional Center. It gives people financial help.
Oh, that's good.
With, yeah, so
state,
we have something,
state waiver funding possibilities.
Yeah, so I appreciate
I wasn't
that a
even
lot.
Aware that there was something about an insurance advocate. How would you connect with someone?
So on the back of your insurance card, you'll have a 1-800 number. And so your group number is assigned to a insurance advocate for that insurance company. You want to call them and then start the ball rolling that way. And be persistent, be aggressive. Call your HR department that, for the company that you work for, if that's where you're getting your insurance, and have them help you also, because they're in contact with that insurance advocate, because they're also, you know, the ones that renew and sit down with your HR to, you know, approve the insurance for next year and what your premiums are going to be and all that stuff. So, yeah, everybody has an insurance advocate, and you've got to get to them. And once you get to them, then you can kind of push that button, because it, look, you've got your your advocate might be out of Texas or, you know, Maryland or somewhere like that, right? So they don't understand that the geography, the time frame that it takes to go 15 miles at 3:30 on the 215, you know, locally, right? So it's a challenge. So, but you've just got to put it in your calendar every week. Just call them and get updates, because the provider for speech and OT, and it, they'll be happy to get approved by another insurance company, because then it just opens them to more clients, right? So they'll be happy to do the paperwork, and the paperwork isn't that hard for them to process. They're used to doing it already. And so once you can get them to, once you get that in, then you start really pushing and calling to make sure that they understand the importance, because the last thing you want is to be on a waiting list for 6 weeks to a, you know, because now your child isn't getting the services that they really need. So
yeah, wow, that's cool.
Insurance
we'll
is
to
a whole huge thing.
It's
frustrating. You're gonna get upset. You're gonna challenge it. But if you just stay persistent with it, I can tell you from firsthand that the speech and OT where my son is getting his services were not approved by my were not the preferred, but now they are, because of what I just, you know, I did and pushed, and you gotta be your kid's number one advocate.
Right.
Persistence is key.
What has been your satisfaction level over the years, now that you've learned the process a little bit more, with the kind of care that he's receiving in the school system?
It's been a challenge, because every year you had a different teacher, right? And so some teachers are better than others. Some are more engaged than others. But I really think in the last 3 years, we had some really good teachers that were really engaged, and we, you know, you could start to see this improvement in Tyler and growth. It's obviously not the growth rate that we all want. He's not busting out of that autistic window, but he's still making good growth. And I think, you know, that's where you have to kind of benchmark it and continue to see the strides.
So it sounds like you had to do a lot of digging initially just to even navigate where to begin.
Yeah, I mean, I think that because he's 11, right? So autism was more new. I would say more new, and maybe it was just because it was new to us. But it was, I think it's easier now to navigate services, and it's, you know, a lot of things weren't covered originally under insurance, and then with the Obamacare at the, when that came in, all of a sudden now PT and OT all of a sudden became covered, I believe. And then, you know, so now I could tell you that you could go to organizations like FEET locally, or People with Autism, you know, the charities that are out there that could help. They have, you know, parent night where parents get together and talk about their, you know, bouncing different things that are working with their kids because of the food, you know, they, you know, like food issues to, to the various issues that each individual kid has, then you can bounce different stuff and talk through those things. So once you get into those groups, it makes it a lot easier to navigate.
Yeah, so now the support is there, that whole network of people working together is there. Within the context of the special education system, what does the IEP team consist of here in Nevada?
Well, obviously the school, right? The teacher, the administrators there. And then one thing that is highly recommended and has been really huge for Tyler is hiring a lawyer advocate that comes in and assists you with navigating the IEP and the language within the IEP to make sure that Tyler's always covered. And it just, you know, it's almost like a security blanket, if you will, to make sure that you're not agreeing to something that maybe it shouldn't be that benchmark. It should be a different benchmark, right? Mm-hmm. Or achievement goal. And making sure that services aren't cut or time of service isn't cut if there's a true need. So I think, you know, you've got your parents, and then the goal here is like a 360 approach, right? Mm-hmm. So you almost want all the services that are outside the school district to be a part of the IEP, so we're all rowing in the same direction. So, you know, if it's speech, OT, therapists, you know, even to gymnastics, if you're in Tyler's case, he's got low tone, so, and he's a toe walker. So, you know, even getting them involved, because even if it's not that, so the gym teacher understands what we're working on. And then more importantly, they could learn about what speech issues or what he's working on in the speech side. So then the PE teacher or the gym teacher can also work on those same. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's a 360 approach. So that's, I would say the more people that you can get in, even in your outside services, into those IEP meetings and be a part of a true team, then you're rowing in a better direction, right? And you're all rowing in the same direction. So you have to navigate services and when you can get them for your child, right? So if your school day is from 9 to 3:15, it's really hard to fit in the extracurricular services that you need to really round out the needs of your child. So one thing that is, you're just going to have to take the time that you can. So the school has been really good in working with, if I need to pull my son out to go to speech therapy that's outside, I can do that and it doesn't jeopardize anything, right? And we try to work around what period he's being pulled out. So if there's the speech therapist is coming to work with him that day, he's there, right? So he's not there. It would be bad. So they've done a really good job coordinating when he gets his outside OT or speech, because it's really hard, because there isn't, you know, and every insurance company is different, but you only have a group of speech therapists that you can go see, OT, PT, right? So it makes it more difficult to get times because there's so many autistic kids that are really, you know, so you've got to navigate that. And that's a challenge. But know that if you work with your teacher and the school administrators, they will help you navigate so you're not taking them out when the other services that the school is providing is at the same time or something like that. So I just want to make sure that that's a challenge, and it's almost like you need a grease board and you really need to navigate your days a week and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's the biggest headache as a business owner that provides these kinds of services. You know, when it comes to right before school, it's a huge puzzle because everybody's got to change to go to this, but I need to switch this, and because everybody has so many, are not articulating well, but so many people have so many different services that they're trying to
Right, I didn't even think about your side of it. Well, because you must have a waiting list for the certain times that, you know, if the kids get out at 3, they want that 3:30 slot or that 4 o'clock spot. 4:30 is the big one.
Yeah. Well, there was so many. Well, yeah, so, like, there's that. But then, like, as a music therapist that worked in schools, I had so many times where I would come to get a kid and they'd be like, oh, they went to speech. And I'm like, that was my time. Like, that was my time, you know. And then we'd have to, like, figure it out and, like, yeah, put that puzzle piece together. So.
Yeah, so you really have to, as a parent, really prioritize and say, okay, this is more important. This is a time slot. I'm going to have to work with the teacher to make sure that there's nothing else scheduled that would be as important, right? So. And you never want to take your child out of school because it's, you know, the curriculum that they need. But at the same time, if this is going to outweigh that period of time that you need to pull them, then, yeah, so it's a challenge.
I want to insert something for our listeners just in case that they don't know. The IEP is the Individualized Education Plan. Now, when I was growing up, I'm hearing impaired. So when I was growing up, I had an IEP. And for me, it was pretty simple and straightforward in my later years, like, you know, especially in high school. It was as simple as, hey, the teacher needs to know that I'm hearing impaired. I need to sit in the front and you need to write out my assignments. It was very simple for my needs, but it really is very individualized. That's the intention, is to be individualized. And so it gets a lot more involved in situations like yours.
Sure.
Do you feel like you've had to, so you have the lawyer advocate, fight for services?
I hate using fight. I think that we all, even the school, wants to see success out of my son. And I think that it can be a challenge to make sure that time isn't being cut, especially in the, not in the classroom setting as much as them pulling them out and doing one-on-one PT, OT, speech with their speech pathologist, and getting those services cut as he goes through the process. It seems like, I don't want to degrade what the school is doing. They're doing a fantastic job. But I think that it's every year it seems like you're in the same argument or challenge to keep the level of service time per week the same or try to increase it. So I don't know if that's budget constraints that the state has. I'm not sure. But I think that's the biggest challenge. And when you have a lawyer advocate, it just gives you that extra help to make sure that your services aren't getting cut. So it's the number one thing I would tell any parent going into an IEP is to always have that lawyer advocate. And if they can't financially afford it, there's a lot of, there's some autistic charity groups that actually would pay for that lawyer advocate to assist the parents.
That's really cool that's available. Yeah, thank you for providing that. I'm sure people would love to hear about, how to have access to that. Mm-hmm.
Definitely. I would imagine it really helps understand, you know, the rights as a parent and Tyler's rights as a student in the school system.
Sure.
So I had a question. So going back to something you said earlier about the teacher's engagement and how some teachers are better than others, what would you say is most helpful for Tyler?
So in a typical class, usually you have 6 students, 2 aides, and then the teacher. I think that if you have a teacher that's got a lot of energy and is really engaged, I think that would be best for all the kids, right? And then the aides also, with more experience that they have, I think that's the biggest benefit, would be that the aides have a lot of experience with autistic kids, as well as the teacher, and they have a good, harmonious working environment with the three. I think that's the biggest benefit. I think that if you took a typical teacher with no experience in autism and you put them in a classroom setting, mm-hmm. I don't know how successful they would be without the proper training, right? So I think they really need to have a background in it before they're just put in it. And then you pray that there's no leave of absence with that teacher because you are getting a sub that might not be qualified in mm-hmm. autism is now the teacher. So you can have that experience happen. And then you, as parents, you have to be really on that to make sure that your child continues the progress that they were making prior to that teacher being, going on leave or something like that. That's a challenge because you don't know what you're going to get, right?
Yeah, it's kind of a gamble each year or every time you take a leave of absence.
Right. And yeah. So we had a couple years where a teacher went on a leave of absence and there was a teacher that wasn't experienced in autism then mm-hmm. was Tyler's teacher. And so I would say that he didn't really achieve those benchmarks that mm-hmm. we were hoping or that rate of achievement that he was making prior to that happening. And then we had another teacher that was an amazing teacher that went on leave and she was pregnant and had her baby and took that leave. And so we had a sub in that again with no experience. So you can kind of see where all of a sudden you've got that level off effect. And so you've got to really stay on it. Yeah. And really the more services you can, the one thing that we've done a really good job of is going and seeking services outside of the school, right? So it's only enhancing Tyler as a 360 and the whole picture. So the more services that you can get, and don't waste your time. If it's not working, change it. Mm-hmm. Tyler in this case is in music therapy with you guys. He also is in piano lessons with another group. He's also mm-hmm. in private swim lessons. He's in private one-on-one gymnastics. He's in OT, and he's in speech. Mm-hmm. And because of his toe walking, we need to add PT back, but we were taking a break for a little while because he's got all these services to navigate. And then he's got one-on-one ABA mm-hmm. Tutoring, which kind of works on all those things also, plus, right?
Yeah.
So diet, he doesn't like to eat. He likes to eat the same foods, chicken nugget and pizza. And so we're introducing new foods, and the ABA yeah. tutor is actually working on introducing new foods each time she's there also. So, the more services that you can get and then follow the benchmarks, and if he's liking it and he enjoys it, then keep going. If it's not working, and then change it up. And so that's what...
Yeah.
He was in horseback riding lessons. We did that for 6 months, and he seemed to really enjoy that. And then, outside of that, he loves, riding his scooter, and he loves mm-hmm. skiing. We taught him how to ski, so he's downhill skiing now, which has been amazing for him to do. So. The more stuff you can get him into and figure out what sticks and what he really enjoys.
Yeah, and I love that comprehensive approach too, in getting each professional, linked to each other.
Right.
So they're working on similar goals. So like you said, working on the ABA therapist introducing new foods while you are also introducing new foods at home.
Right.
And every therapist knowing what each other's goals are, basically, or like using goals from the IEP outside of the school setting. I think that's very, very important for success. Yeah. How did you find out about music therapy?
Actually, through Feet. Feet turned me on to you guys. And then when I was at a I was, one of the things I do, so for my job, we have a charity that we raise money for every year. We have a golf tournament, and we raise anywhere from $35,000 to $40,000 in a one-day event, and we give it to a local charity to benefit local community. So Feet is our charity that we picked. So we've been working with them for about 3 years, 4 years.
That's great. They're a really great organization.
And that's why we picked them, is we thought that they're really impactful in what they're doing for the community. It's a community of autistic, you know, children out there and adults. And they do a camp every year to give a break to the parents. So they can, you can send your child up there to a camp. I think it's in Northern Nevada or somewhere. And it's amazing. So then those parents get that time off to kind of regroup.
Yeah. Right?
So I thought that was really cool. So that's why we picked that charity. And so they turn, so they know all the things that are going on in the community. So those guys turn me on to you guys. So. Mm.
All right.
So
thanks,
Pete. Yeah, right. Is it at all what you thought it would be?
Yeah, I, honestly, I didn't know what to expect, right? So, yeah, so it's been amazing. And to watch Tyler do it each week, because it's in home. So we elected to do it in home. And it's really cool. He loves to dance and loves to sing. And, so it's cool. So, you know, and then we ended up getting a karaoke machine because he was having so much fun.
Oh, yes.
Doing that. So he's doing that to his videos now, and so it's really neat.
What kind of stuff does he sing with his karaoke machine? What are his favorite? Is it the same songs?
The same songs. I'm trying to get him into, like, more age-appropriate songs.
Yeah, I introduced Imagine Dragons.
I heard it.
We've been dancing to Imagine Dragons now, and
I heard it this week, so.
21
cool.
Pilots, so.
Yep.
Yeah, that's awesome.
He loves the Frost song from the movie Frost.
Let it go. Yeah.
Yeah,
we sing that one every week too.
He's like that. And then the new one is the, gosh, I forget the movie. It just came out.
There's Coco. That's the newest.
Moana.
Yes. Moana. Yeah, those are his first two that he picks right off the bat. So I'll have a board with pictures of the, you know, the songs on them, and he immediately picks Elsa from Frozen and Moana.
Yeah.
And he knows all the words too.
Yeah, it's great.
Definitely, yeah. If I'll drop out my singing, and he'll fill me in.
Yeah.
So we have like a little duet thing going on now.
That's good.
Yeah. No, he's wonderful to work with in music therapy. Definitely, I can tell. And then I'm seeing the progress too. In the short amount of time that we've been working together. Has been really, really cool to see. Yeah. So, is there anything you want our listeners to take away?
I think the most important thing that you can do is to be strong in your advocation for your child. Get aggressive with it. Get a lawyer advocate to help you with the IEP. And go to these organizations to find out what support you can get from them. And then, you know, really, because you know best on what would work and what won't work for your child. Mm-hmm. And just throw things at the dartboard and see which ones stick the best. And be aggressive on changing. If it's not working, change it up.
How long would you give something before you change it up? When do you notice it's like, it's time?
Well, I think a minimum would be 6 months. Unless it's like a bad experience or something like that. Obviously, you'd know that and pull it sooner. But
yeah.
I would really, you know, benchmark it. Because, you know, your child might really progress in speech really quick out of the gate. Or it might be a slower process, but you know you're getting benchmarks, and they might not be as high as what you want, but at least they're growing. As long as they're growing and they're having fun doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good way to tell.
Right?
Yeah, so, good.
I mean, I just love the kid.
Most important, definitely.
Right?
Thanks so much for sharing your experiences with us.
Oh, no problem.
Yeah, I think that'll be really helpful for a lot of parents.
But really go after those organizations and just bounce different questions off them. They've already been there, done that. Mm-hmm. So maybe they can help you and put another spoke in the wheel, mm-hmm. you know?
Definitely. So you mentioned, well, there's FEET, and then what else? What other organizations?
There's People with Autism. Mm-hmm. There's FEET. Those are the two that I know of. There's a bunch more out there. I know that UNLV in town has a program. Mm-hmm. And then your pediatrician would also know about different programs and different organizations that can help navigate and just ask questions, you know. The school district would know programs within there, mm-hmm. right? And then you can ask other parents. The best thing is that, you know, somebody else has already navigated this.
Yeah.
And find those people for advice. And that's probably the best advice I can give, is just ask a lot of questions until you find the right answers.
And just connect with the already existing network out there and the already existing knowledge base.
Yeah.
And build it up.